This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. 75 years ago today, the future began with the invention of the transistor. A lab notebook indicates that researchers at Bell Telephone Laboratories first got the thing to work on this day in 1947. This week here, we've been looking at the ecosystems of transistor innovation from New Jersey to Texas to California. Today, the role of immigration, starting with an elusive desktop calculator.
I've been hoping for a long time that somebody would find a 141 PF sitting in their closet gathering dust and go, hey, you know, do you want this thing?
Rick Benson, an IT guy in Oregon, owns a lot of vintage units as founder of the Old Calculator Web Museum. Anyone got one called the Bizicom 141? He'll pay for shipping.
It's the 141 PF, which is the special one. That became the very first consumer item to be produced that utilized a computer on a chip. They're very hard to find today.
This calculator was marketed by a Japanese company, but its brain was devised in California in 1971. That brain is the first commercial microprocessor. It was developed at Intel by a guy from Rochester, New York, Ted Hoff, and a fellow from Vicenza, Italy, Federico Fagin, assisted by Masatoshi Shima of Japan. Embedded in that were 2,000 transistors that were innovations in themselves. They used a sandwich technique, something devised years earlier at, it keeps showing up in this project, Bell Labs in New Jersey.
The MOSFET is really the technology that makes what we could say Moore's Law possible, the possibility of continual growth in the number of transistors we put on an integrated circuit.
Ross Bassett is a professor of history at North Carolina State University. The development of electronics in the U.S. features many immigrants from Europe. Alexander Graham Bell, the phone's inventor, was from Scotland. Nikola Tesla's from what is now Croatia. And the two researchers who chose an unconventional path to improve the transistor were Mohammed John Atala, raised in Egypt, and Dawan Kong from Korea.
Atala and Kong were from what we would now call the Global South, and they were drawn to the United States by American graduate education in engineering. And so that was sort of the magnet that brought them to the United States.
Dr. Bassett was able to meet Dr. Atala late in the inventor's life.
One of the things that was interesting about Atala is that he refused to limit himself to a discipline. He called himself a problem solver. He worked on the MOS transistor. Then he moved out to Silicon Valley and worked for a branch of Hewlett-Packard. And then he finally started his own company, which was involved in cryptography.
Another Atala invention, the ATM pin code. To research the intersection of immigration and innovation, Jennifer Hunt, a professor of economics at Rutgers University, counts up patents.
Immigrants patented about twice the native-born rate.
She says one reason is because more skilled immigrants come to the U.S. with the kind of experience that lends itself to invention, compared to, say, a law degree from overseas.
Whereas physical sciences and engineering, at least in their pure form, completely portable.
And research shows when skilled immigrants are part of the mix, patents by U.S. native-born researchers also rise. Everyone gets more motivated in some way.
It seems likely that working in teams, for example, of native-born workers and immigrant workers tends to lead to a better outcome than if there had been no immigrants in the teams.
As for that foreign pipeline of talent, the number of graduate students studying in the U.S. from Asia, including India, has now rebounded from its pandemic trough, 284,000 in the last academic year. But with tech stocks sagging, some skilled immigrant workers may have to leave for other countries as visas expire. Longer term, semiconductor work in the U.S. is set to boom with new federal funding, fueled by national security and supply chain worries. It's $280 billion to bring back to the U.S. the production of microchips, which come slathered in transistors invented 75 years ago today. How does the bounty that comes with innovation get spread to more people? How can new ecosystems of innovation decrease inequality? Just some of the topics we hope to explore on this program in the new year. The Future Began 75 years ago was produced by Alex Schroeder. with Erica Soderstrom and Jarrett Dang. Our editor was Meredith Gerritsen-Morby, the digital producer Redmond Caralipio, our field engineer Gary O'Keefe.